came to see Mary. She was doing laundry, and then the angel just appeared, and she was really scared. So Gabriel was like, Mary, you're going to have, Mary, you're going to have a baby. You're going to have a baby, and you will call him Jesus. And then Mary was like, I'm not going to have a baby yet. I'm only a teenager, and I'm not married. Then the angel Gabriel told Joseph that Mary is not lying. You are having a new baby. And so they met up. They went to Bethlehem, which was Joseph's old town.
They ride a donkey.
A camel.
Oh, yeah, a camel. She said, this donkey's fast. They tried to go to a hotel, and
they asked the keeper for a place to stay. The keeper said,
we have no rooms. Literally, no rooms.
So Mary and Joseph walked away sadly, but then he said,
the only place in here in Bethlehem that you can stay is a stable. And then he just pointed the way and they followed. When the shepherds were taking care of the sheep,
then they saw angels.
The angels said, a new baby is getting born, who is king of the Jews.
The angel was singing.
And then the shepherd said, I think we should go there and meet him. The second, I think, said, yeah, I agree with you. And the other said, yeah, me too. They had to walk through a bunch of grass and bushes, maybe have to camp out a night. And then the wise men heard about it.
And then a star appeared.
Well, we should probably follow that star. It's pointing down to the barn.
So maybe we should follow it. Maybe. So the wise men went to Jesus.
They gave them gifts.
A stuffed animal, like a hippo one, they have at home.
Some diapers, and some wipes, and some milk, some shoes, some Jordans.
Gold ring and Latimer.
And I don't know how I would survive in that barn. Too stinky, too crowded, and ugh.
I think he probably pooped because the room was very smelly. Thank you for coming.
He's adorable.
He's gonna be our best friend.
I love you, and you're the best baby I ever seen. There, I said it.
The new baby is gonna change the world.
Let me say that again. One of the hardest things to do is to believe in something you've never seen. And Christmas is precisely that, isn't it? Christmas time is the time where we're called or encouraged to believe in someone that none of us have seen. I mean, I don't think that there's anyone that's 2,000 years old. There's a couple people that I'm wondering, right? But they're not. And that's the reality of what Christmas is. We're encouraged then to believe that 2,000 years ago, God sent his son, Jesus Christ. And he was born kind of similar to the way they told it, right? He was born through Mary and Joseph, or through Mary, the Holy Spirit, and Joseph was there and in a manger in Bethlehem. And so that's the understanding that we have. And he was born then, not just to be another human being, but born fully man and fully God, so that he would be the one and only individual that ever existed that could come and die on the cross and then raise again the third day, paying for the sin of the world. It's huge. So how do you believe in all of that? How do you take that step and say, okay, I've never seen this Jesus, but I believe. I liken it to Christmas. Tomorrow, bless you, tomorrow, I'm expecting presents. There's a reason I'm expecting presents. Because if you were to walk in my living room, you would see boxes and different things wrapped like this one. I didn't steal this out from underneath the tree and bring it over. But we have these boxes, the stacks of boxes for each of the kids. And I know, because I went through the piles and made sure, there's one that says to Bill. You know, so I'm sure I'm getting one. And the reality is, I know that a gift is coming. I know that we're going to be handing out gifts. I know that something's going to happen. I haven't seen it yet. I haven't seen what I'm getting. I looked at the credit card bill. I looked at the bank statement, right? And I know there's something going on here. But I don't know what it is. But I know there's a gift coming. And here's how I know. There's a whole bunch of things wrapped like this. Often, you know, if you think about this, if you see someone come in for, like, if you have a lunch appointment, like I had this week with a friend of mine, Eddie, we went out and had lunch together, and he didn't know I was going to do this, and I didn't know he was going to do this, but I walked in with a bag, like this is the guy's wrapping paper, yes, right? It's so great. That newspaper, it's the greatest thing. We don't spend money on wrapping paper. It doesn't make sense. But I walked in with a bag for a gift that I was going to give him. And little did I know, he had a bag there that was on the table already waiting for me. So what did I know? I knew that gifts were going to be exchanged. He wasn't just giving me an empty bag. I knew that. And I wasn't giving him an empty bag. The reality is, there's this symbolism that goes along with it of, hey, look, the wrapping paper, oh, and the excitement as I didn't tell him this because I'm, you know, I'm older, I'm not supposed to get excited, but I was like, whoo, you know, and that's kind of going on inside, right? And it does with you as well. I know some of you are old and some of you are older than that, and you know, and you're like, oh, I don't get excited anymore. Come on, really? You know you get excited a little bit, if not a lot of it. You know, and you get this excitement of, oh, I wonder what's in the box. I wonder what's in what is wrapped. I can't wait to see. And kids, are you there with me? I mean, you really feel it. Are you feeling it tonight, kids? Yes? You're not. I can't tell. Are you feeling it? Are you like, I can't wait. I want to see what's in the presents. I got boxes. I got bags. I got everything. And can this preacher be done already? Because I'm sick of this. Right? I get it. Okay, now you get all noisy. I see how it is. Well, I believe that Christmas is going to be tomorrow, and I believe that presents are going to be exchanged, and I believe that it's going to be a lot of fun. In a similar way, God did the same thing. God sent ahead of time, before Jesus, he sent wrapping paper. On Sundays, we've been going through the Christmas story a little bit different. We're going through the Christmas story the way that the Apostle John told it in the Gospel of John, where he told this Christmas story a little different. He went way back where he says, in the beginning was the Word. He doesn't mention the name Jesus, but he mentions the Word because that is synonymous with Jesus. He says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he goes back before Mary and Joseph. He goes back way before even Adam and Eve. He says, listen, here's the deal. Jesus existed before Mary and Joseph. Matter of fact, Jesus existed before the earth was created. Matter of fact, he was the creator of everything. What an amazing statement. So he goes back, he rewinds the tape way before Mary and Joseph. Then he catches up quite quickly, and you get to verse number 6. In John chapter 1, he says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Not referring to himself, he's referring to someone else. He says, he came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light. So he says, hey, listen, there was this one that came ahead of time. It's kind of like the wrapping paper. You catch me? Do you see the parallel that I'm bringing? That there's this one that, here's the gift is Jesus Christ. But the wrapping paper was this one whose name was John. So let's check his story out real quick tonight. because it's not in John, but the other guy that's recording the history around this time, Luke, tells us all about it. So in Luke chapter 1, he tells us all about it. It's a really lengthy text, but I'm going to make it quick tonight and just kind of jump around so you can see the different things and highlight it and tell you the story through how I was reading it and understand it. So in Luke chapter 1, verse number 5, it says, "In the days of Herod, king of Judea," remember we talked about Herod on Sunday, he was a king. He says, "There was this priest, however, whose name was Zechariah, of the division of Abijah, and he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron. Her name was Elizabeth." So you have Zechariah and Elizabeth. It says, "And they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly and in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord." So these two people, they loved God. They knew God. They loved God. They were, listen, when church doors were open, they were open. They were there all the time. They loved God that much. And when you would see them, you would be like, oh man, they just really, they're over the top, like God people or Jesus people. And that's who Zechariah and Elizabeth were. They're blameless. Even God says this about them. They were just absolutely over the top, really, from a normal human being's perspective. He says in verse 7, "But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren and both were advanced in years." So this would be a negative. Why in the world would you not have a child, not be able to have a child, and be one that, man, you love God and God knows it, but you're not able to have the one thing that everybody else looks at and says, man, you're kind of, God must not love you because, I mean, look at you. Like, you're old and you didn't have any kids, so what happened to you? And there was this big hole and emptiness in their heart, and I'm sure they went through the years saying, man, Christmas is neat, but it'd be really cool if we had a child. You know, or this holiday or this celebration or this thing would be neat, but man, I'm missing out on this. And so that's the background of who we're talking about. Now it says in verse 8, "Now while he was serving as priest before God," so we get to understand he's a priest, which in today's kind of parallel, it would be in our church, it would be like an assistant pastor, okay? So it would be, you have the high priest, which would be the senior pastor maybe, and then the assistant pastor or something like that. So he's somebody that's living there and always in the temple doing his different things and was on duty there. So he was really over the top loving God. He says that he was chosen by lot, so they kind of had different ways of choosing where you'd come into work and you say, okay, what's my job and responsibility today? And he was chosen to light the incense that day. And so he goes and the whole multitude of people, they're praying outside at the hour of incense. So they're waiting outside, they're praying as he goes in and he's going to light the incense and spend time with God. Now, would this be a cool thing to do as a priest? Yeah, this is a special job. This is like, man, I get to do this part and it's really cool to do. So he does this and he goes in and verse 11 it says, "And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense." Now, if an angel appears to you in a room, what do you do? Run? That's a good one. What else? Faint? That's another good one. What? Anything else? What's that? Bow down? Yeah, some people will bow down, yeah. Scream like a little schoolgirl or something like that, right? I mean, you'd be like, ah, you know, and that's kind of the expectation you have. And so here he goes into the room, not expecting anything behind the door. And as he's in there, an angel appears to him. And he says, "And Zechariah was troubled," that's to say it mildly, "when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, 'Don't be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John.'" So he says, hey, listen. Zechariah, I know you're really afraid right now, but guess what? You know that thing? You and your wife have been praying for years for a child. Been praying and praying and praying. And listen, I'm here to tell you, you're going to have a child. Now how do you feel? Do you respond excited, sad, troubled, worried? Where are you at? Yeah, you're happy, you're excited, you're ecstatic. You're like, wow, this is absolutely incredible. And you'd be thinking, listen, if it were me, this is better than like the Eagles win over the Giants or something like that. This is way better than all of that. This is better than even the Super Bowl win. Okay, so anyway, sorry if you're a Giants fan. Where were we? So it says in verse 14, it says, "And you have joy and gladness and many," oh, I'm sorry, it was verse 13. "The angel said to him, 'Don't be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you call his name John. That's really important because back in that day, you didn't call your son something different than your name. You'd call it Zachariah Jr. or something like that. So you're going to call his name John. So it's going to be different. You have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great before the Lord, and he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn their hearts to the fathers of the children, and disobedient to wisdom, to just, and to make ready for the Lord a people prepared. So here's what he's going to do. He's going to be the wrapping paper for Jesus, where he's going to be that special child from the time he's a child, a little baby, all the way through. He's going to be that special, special child that's going to be telling the people, hey, listen, it's not about me. I'm just the wrapping paper, but the one that is to come, he's the one, this is the one we've been waiting for. This is the Messiah. He's the one that was talked about back when with Adam and Eve all the way through. Remember, David talked about him and all this. So he's the one we're waiting for, and we can't wait for this Messiah. And I'm the one, I'm telling you, he's right here. He's coming. And that's what his job was. So how would you respond if you're Zechariah? You see, when an angel appears, you would expect that as the angel tells you, here's what's going to happen, you're going to say, sweet, this is awesome. How did Mary respond when an angel appeared to her? Do you remember? She said, be it done to me according to your word. Whatever you say, I'm on board, that's great. And that's what you would expect. What did Joseph say when an angel appeared to Joseph? Same kind of thing, where the angel said, hey, listen, she's pregnant, it's from the Lord, and so you need to marry her. And he says, okay, I'll go marry her. And he follows through and does it exactly the way it's supposed to be done. And listen, Mary and Joseph, how old were they? They're like 14, 15, 16 years old. So they're young, and they're just like, okay, that's what you say, that's what I'm doing. And then you go and you see the angels appear to another group, the shepherds. And the shepherds, they're there in the field, and angels appear, and they're shouting and singing and saying, this one has been born. He's over in Bethlehem, and they're proclaiming this. And their response right after the angels is, let's go see him. They all believe. They all had this moment where they said, oh, wow, look. I believe that there's something special going on here. I believe that God said it, so therefore I'm going to follow through and do it. I believe that whatever the angel said, it's time. Let's just go and let's see what's going to happen here. What did Zechariah do? You remember who Zechariah is? He's the priest. He's the guy that's like, he's way up here. Everybody respects him. And he's there meeting with God in a very holy and righteous place. And there, as he's meeting with God, his response at the end of this in verse 18 is, and Zechariah said to the angel, I love this. Well, how am I supposed to know this is really going to happen? How shall I know that this is going to happen? Could you imagine this? This, as I was reading this through again, this made me laugh. Because my perspective is, look, the closer you get to God, the more you believe, right? You ever have those moments where you're just not sure whether you should believe what God said is right? I mean, it's a range of things, isn't it? Should I believe that God wants me to do that? Should I believe that this is the right way to treat this? Should I believe that this is the way I should do this with that? I mean, we have these moments, and here Zechariah is having this moment of saying, I'm just not sure. I mean, life was not supposed to turn out this way, and it is. And you're telling me, like, we're old, and you're saying that I'm going to have a child, really? And that's what he says, for I'm an old man. My wife, she's advanced in years. And the angel answered him, I love this. This is so funny. He says, I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. He's pulling rank. Do you see it? Zechariah, you're here in the temple. I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. And I was sent to speak to you and to bring to you the good news. Do you think Gabriel's a little irritated? It just sounds like it. I don't know. So this is good news he's bringing. And he says, verse 20, he says, and behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time. Listen, Zechariah, you remember, what's his job? I mean, what's my job? Yeah, what do I do? I mean, you ever wonder, what does a preacher do during the week? I mean, all kinds of things, I'm sure, right? But his job's on Sunday morning. And what if What if? Now, kids, don't get too excited. But what if I didn't have any voices to be able to speak? Everybody would be like, sweet, church is going to be quick. Rob's going to lead some great music, and he's going to get up there, and he's going to write some things on the whiteboard, and you're tired of writing, and we can't read his writing anyway, and he'll be going home pretty quickly. That's the thought, right? Here's Zechariah. He walks out of this place. He can't speak anymore. The job that he's supposed to do, he's not able to talk to people and preach in the kind of same kind of way. His job's like useless. For how long? Until these things are fulfilled. So for 9 months. Could you imagine? And so I love this. So the people, verse 21, they're waiting for Zechariah, and they're wondering at the delay in the temple, like, hey, listen, this job, Zechariah, I know this is really important, and you want to be the, you know, big cheese or whatever, and you're going in to light the incense. This is like a 2-minute job. You've been in there for 5 minutes. You ever have that moment when somebody's praying, and then there's like this long pause in between, you're not sure, you know, what's going on? Why are we having a pause? Or, you know, different things like that. Or maybe at Christmas time, the light turns green, and they don't go? Oh, anyway. So they're waiting for Zechariah. It says, and when he came out, he was unable to speak to them. And they realized that he had seen a vision in the temple, and he kept making signs to them and remained mute. What a crazy day. So they all kind of leave, and that was kind of anticlimactic. We were expecting something from Zechariah, and he comes out just messed up. Something happened in there. We're not sure what it is. But Zechariah has been different for days, months, and months, and months. So you get to the end of the story. And here's the application, right? The application is kind of simple. When you think about this, it's, do you believe? Mary, Joseph, shepherds, believe God. Zechariah, I don't know if I believe. So the end of the story, you go down, and it records 9 months later, verse 57. It says, now the time had come for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son. And her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her. And on the eighth day, they came up to circumcise the child, and they would have called him Zechariah after his father. But his mother answered, no, no, no. He shall be called John. And they said to her, well, none of your relatives is called by that name. What are you calling him John? That's really weird. And it would be as if, I mean, the husband can't say anything, right? So she can name the child now. That's kind of the impression that you're getting here. And so they made signs to his father inquiring what he wanted him to be called. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, his name is John. And they all wondered. And immediately his mouth was open, his tongue loosed, and he spoke, blessing God. And fear came on all their neighbors, and all these things were talked about through all the hill country of Judea. And all that heard them laid them up in their heart, saying, what then will this child be? I mean, don't worry about the dad. Don't worry about the preacher. We're wondering about the preacher's kid. What's going to happen with the preacher's kid? And they said, for the hand of the Lord was with him. The hand of the Lord was with him. So here's my point. All of these things were done to announce the birth of Jesus. All of these things were done to be the wrapping for the present. And then John comes into town after town and declares, hey, there's one coming after me that you need to come and follow. This one is the Messiah. And he says, here's my message. Repent. Repent, change direction, stop not believing, but believe that Jesus is coming. And so it's a total change that he's calling the people to do. All of this, God does all of this just simply as wrapping for the present. And you go back to John chapter 1 then, and we kind of wrap things up here. In John chapter 1, he says that here's John. He was not the light, and this is verse 8, but he came to bear witness of the light. He was the wrapping for the present. When we see the wrapping, it indicates that something great's coming. Right? Unless if you're at a prank party that's an elephant party or something like that, right? A white elephant or something. But when you see the wrapping, you know something great is coming. And that's what John is doing. Jesus is simply the greatest gift ever. Why? He is God's Son that came to take away the sin of the world. He is the one that came. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the one that as you place your faith in him, he says, I don't just give you life, but I give you abundant life. It's so much better than just an ordinary life. I give you an abundant life. What does that look like? It looks like a life that's filled with all kinds of stress and challenging circumstances, just like everybody else. But the distinction is, you know the right way, you have direction to get through, you have purpose for your life, and you know the end of the story. It changes everything. So yeah, you'll have relationship issues. Yeah, you'll have money issues. Yeah, you'll have challenges here, there, and everywhere. But the reality is, with this abundant life, you have hope, you have direction, you have purpose in everything that's going on. And the reality of it is, if you place your faith in Jesus Christ, he says, you will have everlasting life. Not just this temporary life, but it's life that starts now and lasts for all eternity. That you have this intimate and awesome relationship with God that begins at the moment you place your faith in him all the way through for all eternity. So then my question is, what are you doing with the gift? This is tomorrow morning, we got up, and for me, it'd be like 6 or 7, right? For the kids, you know, it'd be like 4 or 5. Depending on teenagers, it kind of depends on the mood or whatever and how much they think they're getting, you know. But you get up, and it would be the weirdest thing to get up and go and have your coffee and sit in the living room and say, hey, that Christmas parade's on, right? Let's watch the Christmas and do nothing with the gifts. Wouldn't that be weird? You'd be like, that's so anticlimactic. I was expecting, I mean, paper flies, and you've got boxes opening and people screaming and cheers or whatever, and I'm not sure how it is in your house, but we just have a lot of fun, right? I think it's always been that way for us. And my question is, Jesus is that gift. What are you doing with the gift? If you leave it just wrapped and say, well, that's really nice, then you miss out on the abundant life that he comes to give to you. The call is for us to accept Jesus Christ and then to do something with it. And here's what we get to do with it then. We get to live a life that's the abundant life, and we then get to be the wrapping. Isn't that cool? We get to take John the Baptist's way of telling other people. We get to be the wrapping of Jesus for other people in how we live, how we talk, how we are all together. And we declare to them, hey, listen, you may not have seen him and I didn't see Jesus, but I've experienced Jesus. I've experienced the abundant life in my own life altogether. And I get it. And I'm telling you as the wrapping for the gift of Jesus to come believe in Jesus. So this Christmas, what will you do? Will you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and place your faith in him? And will you then be the wrapping for this gift to others? That's our call. Isn't that awesome? There's nothing better. We are going to light the candles in just a second here and think about how cool that is. We'll turn the lights off and we'll light the candles. And here's what we are then. We are illuminating this dark room. And that's what that is then. As we accept Jesus Christ, we're illuminating this dark room. He illuminates where we are, and we illuminate the darkness in this world. How awesome is that? What a privilege. Hey, listen, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you've never come to that point of believing in him, and you're still struggling, I know. I mean, this is one conversation that we're having. And maybe you're struggling. You're like, I don't know yet. That's fine. So keep coming back. Maybe you're struggling with that belief. Keep coming back and discovering more and more and more. Ask questions. Don't leave it unanswered. It's a big deal. And maybe tonight you're at that point where you say, you know what? I've asked the questions. It's time for me to take that first step. Then it's simple. In your heart, with your mouth and with your heart, and you just say, Lord Jesus, I accept you as my Savior. Your gift is for me. And I need salvation. I need to be with you. And that's the beginning point. And you walk that through in your life and feel free. If you're doing that tonight, there's no pomp, there's no circumstance, there's not coming up front or anything like that. You don't have to sign a dotted line. You don't have to give money. It's nothing like that. It's simply with your heart and your mouth talking to Jesus. And if you've done that tonight, then would you come and tell me at some point shoot me an email or just stop beforehand before you leave. And maybe you've already at some point in time accepted Jesus Christ. Then maybe tomorrow as you open your presents. And that's my hope, my assumption. Tomorrow when you're unwrapping presents, can you just look at every present and say, that's me, I'm the wrapping paper to this world. Don't be the newspaper wrapping paper, right? The ugly stuff that you just like, the cheap, you know? Be the really fancy schmancy stuff, right? Be that to this lost world. Let's pray. Lord, it's been great to talk about you. It's been great to celebrate so far just the season and celebrate the gift that you've given to us. Thank you so much for John coming to be that wrapping paper for the world that he was living in. And God, thank you so much for the even greater than that, the gift of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that you'd show us more about you. Teach us your ways and help us, Lord, in any moment of our unbelief to come and to trust you. And it's through Jesus I pray. Amen.